Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Come see your locally owned and operated Linton Glass for all your glass needs. No matter what glass you need to replace, you can count on Linton Glass. Call us today at 601-835-4336 or find us on the web at lintonglass.com.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your radio happy hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Now, don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app. And, of course, you can always find us, too, on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. And you can watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. Today, we are catching up with one of our favorite head roasters of the Humble Coffee Company out of Starkville. That is Kenneth Thomas. They got a lot of good things going on, but for one, you got me, man. You got me, Kenneth. Which I think is awesome. It's so, this go back to April the 1st. That should have been my first giveaway. On y'all's wonderful social media account, you put out this huge announcement that you had partnered with SpaceX and Elon Musk to take coffee to space. I did not scroll through all of the photos that you had up there, so that is a joke's on me. And then I was like, this is so cool. Do you know how many people, Kenneth, I have been telling?
Oh, I know. So
that you were taking coffee to space and how excited I was for you.
That's so funny. So most people picked it up on April Fool's Day. And it probably wasn't until, maybe 15 minutes ago that you realized that it was an April Fool's joke.
Yes. Which, I will own up to my own, jokes on me. And I got a big tickle out of it when I realized it. But the thing is, it's not that far off that it could happen to you. You're a cool kid who's doing really interesting things in the coffee world, and it wouldn't have surprised me. And so, I mean, you need to take that as a compliment. Like, if anybody could get Elon Musk to take their coffee to space, I was like, it's Kenneth out of Starkville. So, I was like, that's really cool. It didn't seem too far. So you're going to have to do something a little bit more far-fetched next year, like Bigfoot pops in for daily cups of Joe or something. Yeah. You definitely have to keep this going, though, because I think I couldn't be the only one that fell for it. I know I'm the only one that fell for it, Kenneth, for this long, but.
No, you definitely hold the record, but there was a little bit of truth in it, in that I actually had taught a coffee masterclass at Stanford, and then where the fool's joke came in was I said Elon was in my class because he's a Stanford guy, or at least spent a little time there, and that we got to know each other, and that he wanted to take our coffee to space. And yes, I had a lot of people April Fool's Day text me with all caps and stuff like that. But then they quickly found out.
They followed the rest of your posts. Thing. Like when it says swipe, I just didn't do that. So I just took it for that first photo value, and didn't take into account that it was April 1st. But anyway, let's just say, if that ever happens, Kenneth, and that's what I text you for. I said, why haven't you told me about this before now?
Because
that's something we would love to share on Good Things, Kenneth, if that ever does happen. But maybe not that exciting of things that are going on there in Starkville, but you guys are still expanding and growing like crazy. So how are things at Humble Coffee Company?
Really good. So we now have an actual what I call a landing spot for people because we're really primarily a roaster, and we do a lot of online sales, a lot of wholesale, but we have a shop front now, or a coffee shop in Starkville, so we encourage everybody to come up, check it out, and we're really excited about it.
How long or where are y'all located?
So technically we're at most benefit to be industrially zoned. And so we are in an area of town that's industrially zoned, but it's easy to find if anybody looks on Google Maps or Apple Maps. But the beautiful thing is that I was able to go to the city of Starkville and say, hey, this isn't zoned as, you know, restaurant or, you know, where you could serve food and drink. But, you know, we'd like to be able to do that. And we just kind of pitched the idea of it's kind of like a microbrewery or a distillery, you know, where you can do tours and you can have a shop front. And they love the idea. And so far, the customers have too.
When it comes to slowly getting warmer, Kenneth, here in Mississippi, the spring has like came and then I feel like she went and then it's just going to slowly get hotter. Do you guys find that people's coffee habits change as the weather changes? Some say it's just for, you know, they drink it more obviously when it's cold, but do you see it holds true all year that people enjoy their coffee?
They do. So what we see is you see a couple things. So one is nationally over the last like 10 or 15 years, you've seen a lot of shift to cold coffees, like iced coffees and stuff like that. But then also on top of that, you know, inherently here in the South, as it gets warmer, you are going to see more and more people go to those cold coffee drinks.
Do y'all provide that there at Humble's storefront or any of the products that you now have available online? Or can we turn your Humble coffee into like a cold drip?
Oh, yeah. So you can do – so with coffee, you can do anything with it. You can take the same coffee and you can use it on an espresso machine. You can use it at home on drip coffee. You can do cold brew with it. There's all kinds of great stuff you can do.
When folks come to visit, I know they can get it online. They can order their Humble variety pack, or they can choose their favorite they want to, or start a subscription. Or I guess if they're on campus at Starkville or in Oxford, they're going to be drinking Humble coffee. Is that still? Do you still have that that going? But when they come to the storefront, it sounds like it would be an added destination. It's not just another coffee shop. So if they're coming into Starkville for any of the great baseball games, or maybe in the fall for football, like you mentioned, the distillery or sort of seeing the roasting. What can you see behind the glass? Like what interesting things can be taken in terms of learning or a different experience than just getting a cup of coffee?
Yeah, so it's the way we have it set up, you can see the whole process. I mean, there's like a, I guess you'd say a little gate or little parameter that separates the commercial production area from the sitting area, but everybody can see the roasting process and all of that stuff. And so, yeah, if people are coming up, you know, Super Bulldog Weekend is coming up soon. Just look up Humble Coffee and just come by, and we'd love to have them check it out. And there's really nothing, there's no place like this in the state as far as coffee goes. So this is really cool, really fun, you know, great for Mississippi.
Do you think you'll have other locations, or are you just going to keep that one right there in kind of your hub, your central hub there in Starkville, Kenneth?
I don't know. We've thought about it. We thought, you know, do we want to go kind of the brick and mortar route and expand that way, or do we want to go more the like universities and grocery stores and expand that way? And we're kind of open to either. We're not trying to like rule the world at this point. Go to space, yes, but not rule the world.
When did you open Humble, Kenneth?
2017, but opening the actual, where the public can come in as a coffee shop, was May of this past year. So we're less than a year old as far as that goes.
Did you imagine in 2017 that you would be here with the company when you opened it?
No, but I will say that a lot of it is where it is because of the people that we've had working for us and the community. The community in Mississippi, there's lots of folks who love coffee, and they're happy that we're here, and we're happy that they're here to support us.
Well, and you also give back to the community and do a lot of fun things, maybe not yet to space, but you'll keep us abreast if that ever happens. If people want to stay updated with everything you've got going on there or find their way there, what's the best place to get connected with Humble?
Best place, it's a couple places. One, they can go to the website, humblecoffee.com. So UMBLEcoffee.com, kind of like your grandma used to say, he's so humble, just drop that H. Or probably the best social media place to catch us is Instagram. And then we have a podcast if people want to learn about coffee, Coffee 101.
Are you still doing your class in Stanford?
Yes. So we rotate. It usually is about a year and a half. They'll rotate through to like a new class, and then they just recycle some of the stuff in between. So yeah, kind of cool.
All righty, Kenneth. Well, you got me good. I'm still sitting here shaking my head. I got people to text to be like, it was just a joke. I fell for it. but hey, you know what? The sky's the limit. You never know, right?
That's right.
Maybe Elon listens to good things, and he's like, you know what? That is a good idea. Let me reach out to Kenneth. If he does that, you let me know, all right?
Yep, we will.
All righty, you guys stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
How could our
making your afternoon just a little brighter? It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things. We're streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. You can always find us, too, on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget, you can watch us. We are on your computer or your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. Don't forget, too, that the Gallo Show will be at the Jackson Convention Complex next Thursday for Mississippi Economic Council's 75th annual meeting. So to register or to be a sponsor, go to mec.ms. That's mec.ms. Rhino, we missed you yesterday, but also we missed the opportunity to talk about a great debate. Laundry debate that got started over on the Good Things Facebook group. So we say that all the time. If you're just looking for some fun and positive conversation or headlines in your feed, if you're on the Book of Faces, then please join us there. It's ever growing and it's a lot of fun. Just type in Good Things with Rebecca Turner pops up and then you'll click join and Rhino and I'll let you in. So yesterday, the 15th, was National Laundry Day. And so I had posted in the Facebook group this, I guess, just picture. It's not really a meme. I mean, it's just a picture with like
an infographic
of your household items that said, how often should you wash your clothes? And then it gave you kind of their standards by which you should wash certain things, to which not a nair one of you out of, I don't know, lots of you agree with this infographic, I think. And so this is something that we all have in common. Somehow, some way, we all get laundry done. Now, I do think there was a point in your life, Rhino, where maybe you would just go out and buy new undies if you didn't want to wash or something at one point. But that's, you didn't go out and buy a whole new wardrobe. At some point, No. You break down and you know, you have to wash your britches, you have to wash your clothes. But how often each household does those things, particularly like your towels, your sheets, that kind of stuff, really varies from household to household. So you tell us kind of like what your laundry, I guess, standards are. 601-879-4395. I'll share with you what this infographic says that you should do. So if you gasp, keep your hands on the wheel, no veering off or getting, you know, having wrecks due to what they say. And I don't even know who they are. I don't even know who to credit it to. It's just an infographic. But anyway, they say your jeans should be washed after 10 wears. So you should wear them 10 times and wash them. Now, let's think that through. Some of you dudes, you wear jeans to work. You have manual labor. You're out there in the heat and the sun, all the things. Wash your britches. Like, you need to wash your britches. You don't need to be wearing those. But, like, late for ladies, sometimes we just slip them on. We go to dinner. We may only have them on for a little while. Or we're just, you know, tinkering around town, not really, you know. And washing certain fabrics and drying them will break down and degrade the fabric. So, like, or they'll lose their, you know, their whatever you call it. And so you don't wash them every single time. I think that one's open to, it depends. I will give the jeans one, it depends.
I feel like the vast majority of these are going to come down to, it depends on how much wear and tear or sweat and usage.
That's fair.
But when it comes to jeans, it feels like the number 10 with 10 wears,
that's a lot.
That's like an average of the normal people out there that do wash their jeans and the seemingly sizable collection of people that refuse to wash blue jeans.
So
the never washers.
I think Blue Delta or Delta Blue, I always get them backwards. Please forgive me. Wonderful company out of Tupelo. They are bespoke jeans, meaning that they fit you to the T. It's personal jeans. Like, they are tailored to you. They are custom made is the word I was
looking for. Blue Delta.
Blue Delta. Got it right the first time. And they have a special fabric or whatever, and they encourage you not to wash them as often as you might would. In fact, I think you may have to have them dry cleaned. I would have to go look at the zipper line. But so it depends on the fabric of your jeans. And then some of you've just had too many snacks and you don't want to wash your jeans and dry them so they don't shrink up on you. And I get that, you know, sort of as well. But I think as long as there's not like stains or funky smells or whatever, it really does. The jeans thing really does come down and sort of depends. Okay, this one, I would need to know their definition of a t-shirt, because they said a t-shirt should be washed every 3 to 4 wears. I'm a little more, I think, unless you just slipped it on to like run somewhere. I mean, and then you sleep in. My idea of a t-shirt is a legit like t-shirt. So if it's a t-shirt comfy kind of day for me, I'm probably going to wash that after that one wear. Rarely am I taking off a t-shirt and folding it back up and putting it back somewhere. Would you agree with that one?
Yeah, I don't think I would go 3 to 4 wears between t-shirts, because the vast majority of t-shirts I wear are undershirt t-shirts.
Right.
And
that's like underwear.
I don't think an undershirt should be worn 3 to 4 times before washing it, especially in the Magnolia State.
I totally agree. And that was what many of your comments were on the Good Things Facebook group was, they obviously don't live in the South, whoever came up with this, for sure. Dresses, only when dirty. I get that. If you're just wearing it to church or just wearing it out to dinner, like, unless you went dancing all night in it in a smoky bar or got sweaty, then absolutely. Because a lot of those actually do dry cleaning. The two, though, that I think we all kind of have different roundabouts of how we do it are sheets and towels. So, and that comes down to personal preference. Like, I got a kid who refuses to use clean, like a new towel each time. I mean, refuses to use the same towel more than once. And I'm like, well, if you bathe correctly, then it's just drying off a clean body. So you're not doing the laundry just yet. We're going to at least hang this back up for at least one more year. I'm going to get at least 2 uses out of it before we sort of sending it all the way to the laundry every time. But this says 4 to 5 uses. So what is your ideal
towels? That's about right on average with me, because I've got a few towels that I will alternate or use one for a few days and then it goes in the hamper and the next one comes out. But I rarely use more, unless there's a spill or I got to defrost the mini fridge or I got to clean up something. And if it's just normal shower towel usage, I'm never going to have 4 dirty towels on laundry day.
Do you do laundry?
Usually it's every other week. I try to do it on the weekends just because it seems like if I get up early enough on the weekend, I can get it all done before there's anybody else wanting to use the washing machine, because I'm using a communal washer at my apartment complex. But with the amount of clean clothes I've got, the amount of reusable clothes I can wear, like with jeans or something like that, plus the fact that it's just me, I can hold it off to every other week. I get a full hamper's worth in 2 weeks of clothes and laundry.
Moms everywhere listening to Good Things Just Went. What? That sounds like a dream. And what's worse is the little kids, because the little kids, they have little clothes. So it may only be one basket, but it's about one basket of little clothes. And you don't want to fold a basket of little clothes. You'd rather fold a basket of big towels when it comes to the actual folding of said clothes. But it is remarkable how many clothes that children and families of four, five, six, however many is in there, can actually go through in a week. And you're like, you do not have this many appendages. Like, we did not leave the house this many times for you to have this much clothes.
Yeah, I'm kind of the opposite when it comes to washing towels of my mom, because growing up in a house full of guys except for mom, it seems like the washer and dryer were running multiple times every day.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, she would wash towels after every single use. So that's kind of the opposite of where I am. It's like, I don't need a towel to be right out of the dryer every time I step out.
I do need it to be dry.
Well, like, yeah, I don't want a damp towel.
Sometimes when you don't hang it right and it doesn't completely dry, I get really bougie about that. I'm like, nah, I'm wet. The towel don't need to be wet. Like, we need a dry towel. But
I hang mine on the door right next to the vent. But,
Greg and Nettleton, or Newton, excuse me, says, my wife washes every day, no matter what it is or how much it is. She just washes clothes every day. And there, you do have those two camps. You're either once a week or 2 weeks for you, whatever. Like, you're doing it, you're batch washing.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just in a sea of laundry for that,
I do
like day.
Four or five loads at most. Usually it's two or three loads. But if I'm washing all the sheets and bedding and the towels, and I had a lot of clothes, it might be five loads, but right, still, that I'm getting it all done in one go.
Or you're that one who runs whatever, like a small load every day to sort of stay out or in front of it. Jeff in Pontotoc says, yep, two uses on the towels. So, yep, National Laundry Day was yesterday, and also when the tie to the anniversary of the Titanic sinking was also yesterday, and we're going to revisit that because we learned a new Mississippi connection coming up next. Trying to reach the things that I can't see.
From Rebecca Turner.
She looks healthy and sane.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man.
Welcome back to Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm, also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We hope you've taken time to download that. We're always on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station and on Supertalk TV, which you can find on your computer or your mobile device. Today, we're catching up with our favorite Columbus historian and author of Ask Rufus in the Commercial Dispatch there in Columbus. Mr. Rufus Ward, you emailed me yesterday. You heard us talking about the Titanic.
I did, and you were referencing a person from the coast who may have been on it,
mm-hmm.
And there's an individual from Columbus who had involvement with it, and I thought you would find that interesting.
Absolutely, I would, Rufus. And, you know, when I was doing, and obviously my research was Google, Mississippi connection to Titanic. That's about the extent. And I did kind of go through and talk to our friend, Brother Rogers, over at Mississippi Department of Archives and Histories. He had never even heard of the Biloxi connection in an article that I had found. And I kind of went on a little bit of a scavenger hunt. And so I'm loving to hear that we may have more Mississippi Mississippi connections to the Titanic. So what's this story, Rufus?
There was a doctor who had grown up in Columbus and went to New York to practice medicine and ended up being the physician for Isadora and Ida Strauss and the Rockefellers and the Colts and the Barrymores, number of prominent families. And he and the Strausses were good friends. He was their physician. When the Titanic sank and word came that the Carpathia was coming back into New York with survivors, he was asked to go and meet the Carpathia and make sure that the Strausses were all right, and if they were injured, see to them. Well, of course, they found out that they had gone down with the ship. That was the couple where he refused to get on a lifeboat before any other man, and she refused to leave her husband's side, and they both went down with the Titanic.
Aww.
So,
and that was portrayed in the movie, too, right?
Yeah, that was it. That was in the movie. They had owned Macy's and were very prominent. And so Dr. Richards actually said he was the third person to board the Carpathia and discovered what had happened to them and started helping with other injured. There were about, I think, 106 people, survivors, injured, who were transported to St. Vincent's Hospital in Manhattan for treatment. And sometimes we don't hear the story of the injured and what happened to them afterwards.
Which I think we should, because I think those are like really interesting stories of folks, like what they do. Did they change their life, you know, trajectory after surviving something like that? You know, all those kinds of things. And I would think even for Dr. Richards, that had to be a real interesting turning point in his career to sort of be able to care for folks who had went through something so traumatic.
Yeah. And he had told me, well, what he said, two things made the biggest impression on him. He said, as the Carpathia was coming into New York Harbor, an electrical storm built up around it, and it was at night, and it got very dark, and the ship would be illuminated by flashes of lightning as it approached the docks. And see, he said it looked like something out of a science fiction movie, that it was just surrealistic. And I looked up newspaper accounts, and it's been a good bit in the newspaper talking about how strange the incident was, and it looked like it was a death ship coming into dock there. He also mentioned that the first thing anybody seemed to be doing was the White Star Line was putting workers on board to sand the name Titanic off the lifeboats and try and eliminate any reference to the name Titanic. And they found that really strange. It's like they wanted to try and wipe it out of history.
But then they go and name their sister, the sister ship, after the Titanic, Britannic. I'm like, you could have stretched a little further than that if you wanted to, you know,
well,
put some distance
between. The Britannic was already in the works.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that was already in the works at the time. It ended up being a hospital ship during World War I and was sunk by a German torpedo in the Mediterranean.
They just got bad juju, Rufus. That was just...
yeah. I think it must have been... Apparently there was about thousands of people turned out on the docks to see the Carpathia come in, and there were so many prominent people who were lost. One of the interesting things about St. Vincent's Hospital, it was a Catholic hospital, and they said that the first-class passengers could all afford to have their private physicians show up at the dock, which is have Dr. Richards got there for the Strausses, and they said they were sending a fleet of ambulances, but they would only transport the lower class, either steerage or second class or third class passengers to the hospital.
Huh.
They were the ones that needed help.
Right. Yeah, you're doing fine if you can fly your own doctor to a hospital after your boat sank. Like, I mean, I think you're on a different tax bracket for sure.
Yeah, and that's what they said was, yeah, we've got to take care of the people who don't have a personal physician waiting on them when the boat lands.
What happened to Dr. Richards after he retired from his practice?
He moved back to Columbus, and I remember I was 9 or 10 years old, and my mother had told me that after school, once a week for at least an hour, I needed to go and talk to him because I would find him very interesting. I was horrified. As a 9 or 10 year old, that was the last thing I wanted to do. As an old man retired, moved back here, and I have to spend my school free afternoons talking to him. I went in and sat down, and the first thing he said was, "Young boys always have a hero. Who's yours?" And I said, "Well, a man named Roy Chapman Andrews. You may not have heard of him." And he said, "Oh, but I have. He was a good friend of mine. He headed the American Museum of Natural History, and he led an expedition to the desert of Mongolia in the 1920s, fighting off bandits to dig up the first dinosaur eggs. And in reality, he was the prototype for Indiana Jones." But when Dr. Richards told me that, I thought, this guy's interesting. And I started going back and spent a lot of time with him. And I learned an awful lot.
How long did Dr. Richards live? How old was he before he passed?
He died in his late 80s. He died, I think, around, late 1960s.
You know, it's interesting.
He had become blind. He had been one of the people working with x-rays before they knew what they were and had become blind from that. But he had memorized his yard. He lived on Main Street in Columbus. And he would go out every afternoon and walk his yard by memory. And an amazing individual. He had memorized Shakespeare's plays. I was studying in the 7th grade, As You Like It, and he said, "I like that play. Quote me a chapter and verse." So I quoted a chapter and a verse. It took him about a minute, and he suddenly recited it. I went, wow.
Well, it sounds like he was definitely a treasure for your family, but also there for Columbus. Rufus, how important is it for us to know these stories? I mean, I think there's many listening to Good Things Today that never knew that there were even two, now that we know, connections to the Titanic, which I know that there are plenty of stories about people who knew people who may have distant relatives. Like, I know, but in terms of like direct, connections to the actual sinking of the ship, why is this important?
It's our history, it's our heritage, and actually it tells us a lot about how people lived and the way you interact with other people. At first I didn't want to go there, and I got to where I enjoyed hearing his stories, and it really created a lot of my interest in history. And growing up, we would spend a lot of time on a front porch with older relatives and sit down and drink an iced tea and hear family stories, and you learn a lot. One of the stories I learned that has a real application today is that my great-aunt's sister-in-law had been married to Upton Sinclair. And the family at the time, around 1920, was appalled that somebody in the family was married to a muckraking communist socialist. And they wouldn't associate. They all imbibed a little too much at a wedding and learned they really enjoyed each other's company as long as politics weren't discussed, and became friends. And they would visit back and forth and eventually got to where they respected each other enough they could talk politics in a friendly manner and with respect for each other. That's something we could use a good dose of today, I think.
Amen, Rufus. And we can also use more of you and your stories. I appreciate your time here on Good Things. People can find you and Ask Rufus columns that comes out on the weekends there in Columbus. Don't be a stranger, okay?
Okay, I won't.
All right, y'all stick with this. We got more for you up next.
Hey,
Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
But baby, you hardly even notice when I try to show you. Song is meant to keep you doing what you're supposed to. Waking up too early, maybe we could sleep. Make you banana pancakes.
Welcome back to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming anytime, anywhere from that Supertalk Mississippi app. Always on that local Supertalk station, as well as Supertalk TV, which you can watch us on your computer or your mobile device. If you love the history story that Rufus just gave us and you like that kind of thing, then you may be interested in our new podcast. It's True American Heroes. It is about the stories of America's true heroes in their own words. It is produced by Supertalk Southwest Mississippi. It is hosted by Jack Rutland, another great history and storyteller. Each episode of the podcast revolves around the direct testimony of a Mississippi veteran about their service to America, and it's really good. And it's available on Supertalk Mississippi app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. So there you go. If you're looking for something new and cool, then I love those old stories and those sort of connections to things that we see in the news or headlines way back when, and then realize, yeah, there was something we learned in history class, or maybe they don't anymore. I don't know. But you have family that, like, somewhere in your line that lived it or knew somebody who did, or it was their, you know, present day headlines to sort of go through or wrestle with, and to sort of just have that sort of connection that, you know, every generation had their ups and their downs and their major tragedies. And then, look, we're all still here. And then also, don't talk about politics and you'll keep friends and family around. I was like, well, that was worth talking to Rufus today. Like, there you go. And I also heard libations will make you realize that, you know, you can all get along as well. But no, don't do that. That doesn't always end well either with the right family. We kind of went backwards with all of yesterday's National Days today, Rhino, but I thought it turned out well for a good reason. But I do like today's National Wear Your Pajamas to Work Day. Are you pro for that? Are you ready for?
I missed the memo. I would have taken part.
You would have taken part in it today. You think they would have been fine if we'd have shown up and just been on Super Talk TV in our little onesie pajamas?
Well, I don't own any onesie pajamas.
Oh, we'd have to change that.
I'd have probably had normal tops and then just PJ bottoms on or something.
Did you grow up wearing PJs? Did you and your brothers, like, wear? Did your mom have you in the matching PJs and do the whole thing?
No, for the longest time, we would just wear, like, oversized T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And just underwear.
T-shirts and shorts have been, like, standard, or sweatpants, depending on where we at in the season, in that way. And then there's some of you, though, that are really into it. Like, you're really into pajamas. They can get as frou-frou and as luxury as sheets can get. You really treat it as, like, this transition in your day to get into more, like, comfortable pajama wear. And I've just really never cared about that life, but I appreciate those that
I know, feel like that's
do.
More of a northern thing, like the silky PJs and a robe. Uh-huh. Is because you live in the north where it's 20 degrees outside, so you keep your indoors at 60.
Dwayne said people wear pajamas in Walmart. They do, and sometimes I've been known to slip on my flannels and go and grab some milk or whatever it may do. I'm not saying that was the best thing to do. I don't know if wearing, I mean, now your kids, if they get the little slip or have, like, the little week, they love pajama day at school, because there is this idea that, you know, it should be just kept, like, into the house and lounging. You really shouldn't be out and about in your, like, legit look like you rolled out of bed kind of pajamas. So it feels like you're getting away with something in that way. I like having that, like, casual Friday for sure. I think if you're having to come into the office, you should at least be given, and you have a dress code. Not all places have, like, strict dress codes. Some places have more laxed where, and it's appropriate. You can wear jeans or, you know, or whatever. But other places have a little bit more structure when it comes to their ideal workwear. So I always thought that the casual Friday thing was always just a nice nod to, like, not have to try so hard. But I don't know if pajamas would be, like, the route to sort of to go with that. But talking about it being a northern thing, when you see, like, movies, things that are not realistic. I'm sure some ladies are out there wearing the little nice things that go all the way down to the ground and all the things. Do you know how, like, twisted and tied up in that I'd get by the end of the night? Like, there is no way that I'm wearing something from my head to my toe for me to then choke myself with in the middle of the night. I wake up and fighting through it, trying to like get around. And I'm like, nobody actually. No, that's not real life. That's not real life absolutely at all. Or wakes up and slips on their robe to go run and see what the dog's barking at. Heck no. Or at least not me. I'd scare you. Like, if that's what you expect. If that's what you expect in terms of how you look first thing in the morning, then no. And that's not real. That's not real life for the majority of us in that way. I think the only time I ever saw those with like holiday times, like you might would get matching pairs for something a little fun or that. But, however, if you're still going into work today, put your PJs on. Tell them it's a national wear your PJs to work day. Just don't tell them I told you to do it. All right, stick with us. You got more coming up next. You got the Boys with Sports Talk Mississippi from 3 to 6. Rhino and I will meet you back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Good things for you and I. Good things for you. Here, good things for you.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.